The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem at the sheep gate a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, with five porticos. In these lay a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I am on my way, someone else gets down there before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your mat, and walk." Immediately, the man became well, took up his mat, and walked. Now, that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to carry your mat." He answered them, "The man who made me well told me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who told you, 'Take it up and walk'?" The man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away, since there was a crowd there. After this, Jesus found him in the temple area and said to him, "Look, you are well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went and told the Jews that Jesus was the one who had made him well. Therefore, the Jews began to persecute Jesus because he did this on a Sabbath. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Okay, a little thought for you for the day. There's a place in London called Hyde Park. If you've ever been to London, I'm sure you've heard of Hyde Park. Okay. Now, in a corner of Hyde Park, there's a place called Speaker's Corner. And it's a famous place because people go there and they make public speeches about anything at all and for as long as you want. And it can be kind of amusing to go to Speaker's Corner. And you can go to Speaker's Corner and you can get up there and you can talk about the Apostles' Creed if you want, right? But people usually go to Speaker's Corner and, you know, they explain things like how the entire universe is actually a hydrogen atom. So it's very amusing to go to Speaker's Corner and listen. And people talk about religion and people talk about politics, as you might imagine. Well, anyway, Archbishop Fulton Sheen tells a story of one day that he was at Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park, and he listened to an atheist who made a long and impassioned speech explaining that God certainly does not exist. And when he was finished, Bishop Sheen said, "Thank you for illustrating so clearly that God certainly does exist." And the man said, "I just spent the past hour explaining how God certainly does not exist." And Bishop Sheen said, "Well, suppose I spent the past hour explaining how unicorns, leprechauns, and centaurs certainly do not exist." And the man said, "Well, you'd sound like quite a fool." And Bishop Sheen said, "That's because we all know that unicorns, leprechauns, and centaurs certainly do not exist. So how can you speak so impassionedly about this God who does not exist without reminding us all that we know in our hearts that he does?" Smart man, Bishop Sheen was, very smart man. But he raised a really important point. Speaking so impassionately about how God doesn't exist, the idea of God and everything that God asks of us tends to ignite our passion. It tends to get us all worked up. We tend to see God as a threat and everything that he asks of us as a threat, and we dig in and we don't want to change. And that's a theme that shows up in our lives, and it shows up all across the Gospels, and it shows up in our Gospel here today, where Jesus cures this poor man who's been ill for 38 years Everybody knows who he is. He's been laying next to this pool since 1981. Okay, he's been ill for 38 years. And he gets up and he walks. And the Jewish authorities, their first reaction to him is to be filled with anger and opposition. And you'd imagine that they'd see the marvels that God has done for this man and they'd be filled with praise and wonder. But not even a chance for that. Nothing but opposition and any excuse they can possibly find. Why are you walking with your mat? It's the Sabbath. You shouldn't be doing that. Nothing but opposition. And we need to stop and realize that if you want to pray about something the second half of Lent, here's something to pray about. We are just like those Pharisees. We like to imagine that we don't oppose God's plans, but we really do in our hearts. Whenever God asks something of us, you know, like for example, you'll find that people will go through all sorts of difficulties in dieting and just to lose 5 pounds. But if you ask them to fast on Wednesdays or Fridays or Ash Wednesday or Good Friday, they'll suddenly, no, I can't do that. You know, when people will go to all sorts of trouble to go and make a vacation and get across town, and but you know, when it comes to making an extra effort, say to get to daily mass or to go to a holy day of obligation, no, I'm too busy. Nothing but opposition. We're very much like these Pharisees, because what God asks of us is in fact a threat. It's a challenge to our complacency. Not everything that God asks of us is difficult, and not everything that's difficult is something that God asks of us. However, be aware of this. Most of the time, it is. In fact, St. John of the Cross uses this as one of his principles for discerning God's will. He says, if you've got two options before you, one that's easier and one that's harder, chances are the one that's harder is the one that God wants you to do. So when you have something to pray about the second half of Lent, pray about this. The words that Jesus addressed to this man here at the pool, he addresses to you. Do you want to be well? A lot of times our answer is, no, Lord, I really don't want to be well. I'm quite comfortable sitting next to this pool right where I am. It's a pool like this in all of our lives. It's a place of complacency. It's a place where we don't want to put forth any effort. And our Lord comes along and he asks us this question. Do you want to be well? Something to pray about. Our Lord does, in fact, come to us as a threat. However, he only threatens that in us which is false. If we'll trust him and we'll cooperate with him, he'll lift us up on high and set us free. Amen.